Great Rivers Region 2 weeks in a row. I'm really happy that you had Pastor Rob preach last week. He is the new associate executive. He's doing the job that I did and is on the Great Rivers Region team. And so to worship with you all today, because you know I haven't been able to be here since Christmas Eve, I think, was the last time I was actually in here to worship. I want to share with you all, just like you saw up on the screen earlier today, that there is a way for you to contribute to all those that have been affected by the earthquake that happened in Turkey and Syria, and they're still digging out from all the ruin there. Hungarian Baptist Aid actually went there the first 24 hours with some One Great Hour of Sharing funds. And One Great Hour Sharing funds are the same funds that we gave to Ukraine and continue to give. And also we gave to help with the hurricane that hit Florida and up the coast. So if your heart is moved to help the earthquake victims, you are encouraged to give to, you can make your check to the First Baptist Church and then put in the memo One Great Hour of Sharing, or you can put Turkey, or you can put Syria, but those funds will go directly to help the people there. When we give to the One Great Hour of Sharing for things like natural disasters, it's really good because it's the safe way to give is through your church. When we give to the One Great Hour of Sharing, no overhead comes out of it. So if you give $20, $20 goes to help the victims. If you give $100, every bit of it. So there's no processing fee. There's nothing else that goes except the funds go to directly help the people that are in need. So if your heart is moving you to help in that way, you can give One Great Hour of Sharing dollars for that. Scripture that I chose to read today is from Matthew 4. It's after the baptism of Jesus, and it is right after he is tempted in the wilderness. Jesus goes to Capernaum about a year after he was baptized, and this is what happens. So I'm going to go to the podium, though, to read the scripture, and then I'll come out to do the sermon. Beginning at verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people live in the darkness, have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." May God add blessing to his word in scripture this morning. The word reboot has become part of our language or part of our vernacular. What do we reboot? We reboot our computers. We reboot the internet. We reboot our phones. And as of lately, the television community seems to reboot old television shows. What happens when we reboot is that we're going to erase the problems that had happened before. Like if your computer doesn't work and you're not really into building it, what do? You just turn it off and turn it back on, and all of a sudden our problems are all solved. If you can't get your phone to work, you're told to turn your phone off at least once a week, turn it back on, and all of a sudden it is reset itself. So I was looking the other day, how long have we actually used the word reboot? Well, reboot was used in the 70s, but it actually has come more to light because as we are more and more dependent upon technology, we need to reboot. And it's sometimes used in language for ourselves. How is it that we reboot ourselves? How is it that we get reconnected or re-energized? And you can also think about the word reboot when it comes to reconnecting with your family. I remember when the kids were getting very active in sports, and we were active as a family in church and in worship, we had to find times to reboot together. How is it that we could connect together as a family? We might find a favorite television show that all of us could sit by the TV and watch once a week so that we could be together and then talk about it later on. Meals around the table were huge for our family. We always sat down together at dinner and would sit and talk about our day, how was school, how's a way that we can reboot or reconnect together. In fact, last evening was a wonderful evening where my entire family came over to the house next door, and we had not been together, all of us, to share a meal together in several weeks. There are times that the boys are here and they go to eat after church together, or I'm able to go with some of them out to dinner during the week, but it had been a long time before all of us could connect together and definitely spend time with both Oliver and Monty. So we need to take time where we reboot or reconnect together. You see, the word repentance, which is in this scripture, has a lot to do with relationship and reconnecting. The scripture that we have before us today talks about the time that Jesus travels. And you know, the book of Matthew was written to the Jewish people. So it's written in language that they would understand. And from the very beginning of Matthew 1, Matthew is trying to show the Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who has come, has fulfilled all of the prophecies, and he is the promised one that everyone should be looking for. So like I said earlier, it had been about a year since Jesus had been baptized in the Jordan River. And he heard the word that John, the forerunner, the voice crying in the wilderness, the one who did not keep his mouth shut, was thrown into jail. And so when Jesus heard this, he traveled from Nazareth. It's still up in the Galilee area in the northern part of Israel. He traveled to Capernaum. And Capernaum is the town where Peter is from. It's also on the Sea of Galilee. And you will find later on in Scripture, just after this passage, Jesus calls his first disciples. So it fulfills the Scripture that Jesus would be going to along the Jordan River to the city of Capernaum, exactly like the Scripture in Isaiah tells us. We hear the Scripture of Isaiah every time Christmas comes along. The people who have been walking in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus was coming to pierce the darkness, to shine the light. Okay, shine the light, not just on our wrongdoing, but to get us on track, to reboot us. And that's where the word repentance comes from. You see, repentance is not just about asking for forgiveness. We hear the word a lot from John the Baptist, and Jesus talked about it. Repent, repent. That means we're supposed to admit that we were wrong about something. Maybe we were wrong about a lot of things in our lives. And it's important to apologize with a heartfelt apology for things that we feel like we need to repent of. However, it's more than asking for forgiveness and getting forgiveness. What it's about is changing our lives. It's about getting ourselves back on track to where we are supposed to go, to where we are supposed to live, to how we're supposed to live rightly, where we can show mercy, show grace, show peace, show love to a very hurting and very broken world. When Jesus shares this scripture that's up here on the screen, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, God is coming
near. That God loves us so much that he's sending his son to put us in right relationship. And Jesus' ministry is going to be valuable and going to count. Now, we know that Jesus came to take the sins of the world, to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can have life eternal. We know that. But God didn't just plop Jesus down, put him on the cross, raise him from the dead, and that was all over with. God had a plan, and Jesus' ministry meant something. He was going to be walking and talking and teaching, and he was gathering people up that heard everything about him. And after he calls the disciples, we're going to find in Matthew 5, that's the Sermon on the Mount, where people that are broken and are hurting are running to Jesus, not just for physical healing, but they're coming for spiritual healing. It's a time that we need to put ourselves, just like the people that Jesus was speaking to, on the right track. When we repent of our lives, we start anew. And the great thing with Jesus Christ is that we can start anew every single day. We can ask God for forgiveness for the things that we know we were out of line about, and then the things we have no clue we were out of line either, but that we want to grow closer to him and that we want to walk closer to him, because people are so hurting in this world, my friends. The world is more lonely and isolated than ever, even though we can get access to the world in just seconds, especially on our phone. But people feel more broken and more hurt. And the suicide rate has gone up so high, even among clergy. Even among clergy, the people that you think have it all together do not necessarily have it all together. But we have a God that loves us so much, and we have the greatest message that we need to share to everyone. You see, Jesus traveled to Capernaum, like I said, and it's Peter's hometown. And there he worshiped in the temple. And you can go to Capernaum today. The city of Jesus and the city of Peter. And it's right there on the Sea of Galilee. And you can be right there in the excavations where Jesus was, in the very temple that he preached. You can look in to see where Peter's house was. And he came not only to fulfill the scripture, but also maybe to be the voice that Peter hears first. And when Peter is convicted and follows him, his life is changed forever, forever and ever. And Jesus knew the scripture, just like the Jewish people knew the scripture as well. And so when he said the kingdom of heaven is near, that means the kingdom of God. You see, the Jewish people, under strict tradition, never even said the word God, because God is so holy, we don't even utter his name. And so Matthew referred to the kingdom of heaven. But like I said, this is a different day. Jesus is beginning to preach, and he's sharing what his mission would be. And his mission was to bring God to the people, to show love and grace and mercy, and to get people on the right track. Because those who were even the religious establishment and those who were strict followers of the law were not understanding what God meant in the Old Testament. That God was gracious, and God created his creation to love them and to have us love him back. That's why God created us in the first place. And so Jesus is telling the people that God is for them. God is not some high in the sky wanting to jump down our throats and question every little thing that we do and scold us for every little thing that we do. God is our number one cheerleader. He wants to show his love and his mercy to us. And in turn, he wants us to show his grace and his mercy to a broken world. It's a huge deal that God would come down to earth. It's a huge deal that no matter how many times God had reached out to people in the Old Testament to put us in right relationship, and human beings, being human beings, would run away from God's perfect plan. And because the world was so full of sin, to put us in right relationship, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the form of a baby. And that was something that nobody ever would expect. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in grace with God. Jesus begins his ministry by traveling to Capernaum, to the city of Peter, and starts to preach. He actually is picking up the same message that John the Baptist preached as well, but continuing on, because we know Jesus is the Messiah, and he is the one that God has sent. But John the Baptist was the forerunner, was that voice crying out in the wilderness, telling people to get their lives straight. But now Jesus is going to bring that even more into light with everything that he preaches and he teaches. So what is the Messiah's mission? It's to get us all on track. To get us all on track. And to show us that there's always an opportunity to get on track. None of us are so sinful that we cannot turn around. There is nothing that we can do that God can't love us through. There is nothing that God doesn't have the power to help us change our ways. And what way is that? We are to be his hands and his feet and to share that message of love. Friends, if your religion is calling you to hate people, you're in the wrong religion and you're not reading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And when we receive that love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness, we want to turn around, all right? It's 180 degrees, all right? We always say 360. No, that just turns me all the way around. It's turning ourselves around, okay, to be something better, to be something more amazing. The scriptures talk about how God puts, we are part of the refiner's fire. Okay, that can be pretty hot, right? Or we are being molded into a beautiful creation, just like a piece of clay on the potter's wheel. Okay, to mold and to make something, a lump of clay into something beautiful, it takes a lot of spinning, a lot of water, a lot of squeezing, right, to become something absolutely beautiful. And God allows us to endure some of these things that we put ourselves through so that we can become something absolutely, absolutely beautiful. The Japanese have this tradition that if a piece of pottery or a pot, a cracked pot, a pot becomes cracked, instead of using like Elmer's glue all or super glue or something to connect it together, especially if it was a nice clean break, when we do that, we can hide the cracks, can't we? We can hide the brokenness. We can hide the mistakes. But the Japanese, what they do, they use a special kind of paint glue that's gold in color. And they celebrate the brokenness of a cracked pot. And so when they glue it back together, the crack isn't hidden anymore. It's actually highlighted. It's gold and it's glowing. And the reason they do that is to show that even in brokenness, it can become something beautiful. Even in brokenness, it becomes something absolutely gorgeous and absolutely beautiful. So even in our brokenness, we don't have to hide the cracks. You see, Jesus is the light of the world, and it's through our brokenness, through our cracks, that the light of Christ can shine through. We can connect with others in our brokenness, in our hurts, in our pains. We can connect and we can show the world that the light of Christ is the one that shines through us, and that the only reason I am here today and we are here today is because of the love of Jesus Christ. That he is with us and he walks with us every single today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's not us having to go to the priest every week and confess our sins. We confess to the high priest, Jesus Christ, every day. But that repentance is not, like I said, a scolding repentance. It's to get us on track. It's, okay, you messed up. Now what? We see that a lot in Jesus' ministry, too. Especially when he's speaking to the woman at the well. He talks to her about living water, but he's also able to tell her all about her life and all about her mistakes. And instead of taking her out, you know, to chastise her for all of her mistakes, what he says to her is, okay, now what? I know what you've done. You know what you've done. Now what? What are you going to do now that we are in relationship with each other? What are you going to do now from this day forward to shine the light of Jesus Christ in your life? What are you going to do to be the hands and the feet of the kingdom of God to change the world today? What are you going to do? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. God came down to be with us and to put us in right relationship. So now we can be his hands and his feet. And thanks be to God that he did take the sins of the world upon himself so that we could have new life in Christ. And all those who have gone before us will be joined with them up in the sky and will be in the presence of the Savior. But while he has us here, for such a time as this, we have to be the crackpots, right? We have to be the ones that are going to shine Jesus' light. And my friends, like I said earlier, our world is hurting more than ever. And they don't know this Jesus. And they haven't darkened the doors of a place of worship. So you know what that means? We got to go get them. We're going to have to figure out how it is that we can get a place uptown in Greenville and have a dinner church or have a place to worship or have a book club. I think that people are looking for ways to get together, so that's why all these book clubs are everywhere. Look for a place to go so that we can show the light of Christ in everyday life and that we can make connections and show something different in our lives. The Church of Jesus Christ does not have a good reputation right now. We're seen as judgmental and mean and other things. And we know we're not like that. We know we're not. We want to love Jesus, and we're so thankful that God has molded and made us into the people that we are today, even though we might all still be a mess. But it is in that messiness that Christ's love can shine through. So let us begin today to show grace. Mercy. If you go out to lunch today, be thankful to the person that is serving you. The servant, right? Those who are waiting on you, those who are bagging your groceries if you're out at the grocery store, or those that are still willing to even take your groceries and help you out to the car. Be thankful for those that are serving you. Be helpful for those that are helping you out in any place of employment that you may go to this week. Those who are giving you assistance, be thankful for that. Shine the light and love of Christ wherever you go. Jesus' message and mission was to get us back on track, to show grace and mercy and light and love. And that can change the world. It's love is the only thing that changes people. So, in your repentance today, think about the things that can rekindle your relationship with Jesus Christ. What is it that can ignite the spark within you and excite you again? Just like the time that you realize, that think back to the time that you realized how much Jesus loved you and died for you. When you let Jesus become Lord of your life, rekindle that spark, rekindle that fire, and rekindle that love, because it is in the overflow of that love that we can minister to a broken world. Repent today, reconnect, rekindle that spark and that love for Jesus Christ, because it is that love that will change this broken world. It's what God's calling us to do. It was Jesus' mission from the beginning. It's still his mission today in 2023. Let's share that love of God. Let it permeate our cracks. Let it permeate the tips of our fingers, the top of our head, and of course, the edges of our lips. Let that love of Christ.